This is Whitney.
And this is Hysterical Women,
the podcast that no one asked for about our thoughts about gender in our society.
Each week, we're going to dissect events, macro
and micro, to determine if we think this week was a win
or a loss for feminism.
Speaking of fashion and like quarantine fashion, where I impulsively took John to Walmart at like 10 p.m. and we bought these like monochrome sweatsuits, and I was like, this is gonna be like cool and chic because I see girls on TikTok that do that, but then the sizes were all weird and off and I just look bad and tacky. And then I was like maybe this is cute. And it's like, it's not cute, but I was like, maybe this will be cute enough that then I can like I wore it to my workout class. That's a Zoom call. And I just was like, this is not cute. I just look insane because I'm wearing like all white sweats that don't fit me right. Cause it turns out they're from the juniors department, which I didn't notice until I was looking at the receipt.
You just found yourself and you're like, these are my people, but it was the juniors. That's cool.
Which makes sense now looking back, because it's like I said, full white sweats and then a like pink tie-dye t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. I love that in your head, an adult, that's for adults. That's beautiful. Sometimes juniors is good. Like you can find a thing and it's somehow, like I have a crop top that is a juniors, but it feels like it's a normal shirt for a child, but... That's also crop tops.
And that's like this tie-dye shirt that I got where I was like, well, I guess this will just be a workout top. Like, cause it's like, it's not even crop top cute. And like the sleeves also are little. So it just looks like I'm wearing a shirt that's too small, because guess what? I'm wearing a shirt that's too small.
We're learning about our bodies and shapes and kind of everything in quarantine. I'm finding really how many different like kinds of looks you can get when you have two sweatshirts, like one pair of jeans, and just like a shirt you stole from your mom. And guess what? It's about one look. You add like a little hat like this, and then you can get a lot of mileage out of this.
Yeah, you sure can. Well, I just think it's like rude and unfair that like I'm getting, the reason I went to Walmart to buy monochrome sweats was because I'm getting targeted ads from them and I'm seeing cute girls on TikTok wearing it. But it's just like, that's not fair, because that doesn't actually look cute on anyone else in any other way. And I know like the point is more to be comfortable, but when you see someone looking so cute in it, you're like, oh, I can have that. And then it's like, no, I sure can't.
And it's not for us. And it's about learning what's for you and what's not for you.
Exactly. That's the beauty of quarantine.
And that's the beauty of quarantine, is that no one sees you at all.
Well, do you have a question you want me to ask you?
I had one and then it just flitted. Oh, yes. What did you watch last night?
Nothing.
Okay, cool. Do you want to ask me?
Yeah, I want to ask you. What did you watch last night?
Okay. Usually, I'm very bad at watching. Like, with people, I constantly fall asleep. Ask my sister, ask John. It's just like, once I feel like I'm safe with another person and a show is on, I'm like asleep.
Yeah, I see that for you. So is it more because of the safe feeling or because the shows that you watch with those people?
Probably both.
Because I feel like the shows that I watch in a group setting are not necessarily, like, part of it, me is watching it just because it's like, this is a group experience, not because I would actually want to watch the show.
Sure. Well, I guess it's like, when it's like my sister and John, it's like, it's not a group. It's a person that I've decided has to watch something usually that I want to watch. The worst time was when I forced John to watch the musical episode of Grey's Anatomy and was literally asleep in the first 30 seconds, but he never realizes when I'm asleep. And so then he watched the whole episode and then I woke up and I was like, wait, huh? And he was so mad and he still brings it up today. Anyway.
That sounds terrible though. Musical Grey's Anatomy.
You think. And it is. But it's also a warm place in my heart. If they were trying something new.
And respect that.
And then they're like, we should definitely sing How to Save a Life.
Oh no.
It's amazing. It's like the height of drama.
Yeah.
It's how I feel about musicals. Anyway, that's an aside. What I just wanted to say that last night I watched two movies back to back and didn't fall asleep at all. That's amazing.
Wait, movies, not even episodes?
Two films. And let me tell you what the films were. It was a perfect double feature. The Princess Bride.
Beautiful.
Which is amazing. I need
to rewatch that during quarantine.
It's so good. There's very few women in it, obviously. And the main character, Buttercup, says nothing and has no character. But if you can look past that, it's an amazing film. And then we watched 10 Things I Hate About You, where Julia Stiles has actually too many opinions in that movie. So if they just kind of mix those two characters together, we would have gotten, you know, kind of complicated enough character. But really just two such different worlds, such different times, such different times for movies. But they're very nostalgic for me. And it was great.
Do you find yourself watching more movies right now than television, or just more movies than normal?
Yes, definitely more movies than normal. Like the other night, we watched a double feature of Be Kind Rewind and Hairspray. Wow, maybe I'm really good at watching two movies in one sitting now because I have nothing else to live for. But yeah, definitely, because it's like an activity.
Yeah. Because I feel like I think often about how I watch a lot of movies and you watch a lot of television. And
I'm still watching a lot of TV, just like for the record. Like, don't worry, guys. I know you're all like, is she still watching TV? She sure is.
Yeah, but I think that part of the reason that I don't is because I feel like I need an end.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that I wonder if like part of this whole like COVID thing is like we need to feel like we need there's like an end and like a completion.
Because there sure isn't in a lot.
There isn't in life.
Yeah. And that is an incredible study that we will do right when we get back to being able to like have a lab, test people, ask a question.
Exactly.
That's a new STEM project that you are going to...
That's going to be my second STEM project. I actually was going to talk about this article today that I guess now I'm talking about it, but it was basically like in terms of research and like academia and in STEM, the number of women whose research has just like completely fallen apart is so much greater than men's. I was like, I guess, now I'm talking about it, but I was just like,
when? Go tell me about this.
It was just like such a bummer. And I also feel like we kind of talked about in general how this whole quarantine is just affecting women's careers more than men's. But yeah, it just was like this could be a setback for women in STEM because women are like having to deal with childcare and like housework and just things that they don't normally do. Normally, if there's like two partners that are both working, they have systems in place to create that. And when those systems fall apart, it's like the responsibility is ending on women. And I was just like, that's a bummer.
I also read, I think different, but it wasn't STEM. It was just women in general getting just forced to do most if not all of the like cooking, cleaning, childcare, but that men, like nearly half of men are saying that they're doing more of the homeschooling and like 3% of women agree with that assessment.
Oh, geez.
But like in a very similar way, it's just like, yeah. And so a lot more mothers in kind of these two family heterosexual households are having to put aside their work. And then it went even more into the philosophy of like men working versus women working and how like in our society, men spend a lot less time on unpaid work while women often do and like are pressured to have more flexible careers so that they can have the flexibility to take care of kids when they need to. But like men, rarely that's part of their...
Never part of what they're...
It's never their shtick.
That's so annoying. I'm just talking now about like how I've been like, yeah, like just thinking about like, yeah, and it's nice that like acting is flexibility and writing has flexibility and like life coaching, I can set my own hours so that then like I can set up a career so that when we do have kids, it'll be flexible. I'm like, John's not thinking about that.
I know. It's like, I do the same thing. And I'm not even thinking like, oh, it's for kids. I'm like, I want flexibility because I contain multitudes and like, I'm going to do everything that I want. But it's like also maybe part of the like reptilian brain in me is like, and also for babies. So, but I don't know, but it was just so depressing because I feel like weeks ago we were like, and finally it's like clear that the essential workers are women. And like now that people are having to homeschool their kids, maybe they'll finally respect teachers. And we're finding that it's just like, no. Mm-mm. It's just setting women back again. And there are like sociologists and gender studies people writing right now just being like, yeah, I'm really worried. Just like,
yay.
It's a big old loss.
We'll say that's a big loss.
Did you have a question? Sorry, we actually were very fluid and free and just kind of went from question to macro. It's like we're having a dialogue.
It's almost like this is organic, which actually organic is a great way for me to segue into the question that I want you to ask me about. Basically, I just want you to ask me what I did this morning.
Do I get to answer? You're asking me?
Okay, fine. What did you do this morning?
Nothing. What did you do this morning?
I went strawberry picking, and I think that I have literally no idea if those strawberries were organic, but they feel fresh and fun.
What is actually insane, and for me too, I'm like, oh, if I picked it, it's organic.
Yeah.
That's not.
There's literally no reason for me to believe that. They did not advertise that.
Yeah. Those strawberries were not organic, but the fact that you picked them is
good.
Good.
Good. Yeah. And it was like really fun. And I just was like, wow, again, this is me in World War II times. Just go and pick my own berries.
Are you a... Sorry if you get actually arrested for this after, but are you an eater while you pick?
No, but Rhonda was.
I'm team Rhonda. It's if you're not eating as many strawberries as you're picking, and sure, pesticides. But trust me, I believe that you should be eating those pesticide berries.
Okay, well, that's good to know for the future. No, but it was a nice little outdoor activity.
Are you going to cook with them or are you going to?
Yeah, we're going to, well, I was going to surprise you, but surprise, we're going to make jam and I'm going to send you some. So.
Do you ever look at like your life and you're like, what am I getting out of this relationship with Nora?
Never one time have I ever thought
that. Because I feel like I've gotten a sweater, a blanket, and I'm going to get jam.
Well, what I get out of it is, like, I find joy in giving things.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like the thing that, like, gives me the most joy in life is to feel like I'm everyone's, like, rich aunt.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I'll let you do that for me.
Okay, great.
I'll try to step it up, though. I'll try to figure out ways. Because I kind of feel like I'm your delinquent daughter. But I'll try to, like, find ways to, like, make that fun and not just...
I think you're doing a perfect job already.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's all. Do you have a better micro that's happier?
I was just thinking about if you're my rich aunt, but I think you're my daughter. That is a sitcom waiting to happen.
We better, hurry, uh-oh. Edit that out. Save that idea.
You gotta write that. It's so good. I did have another macro that I wanted to talk about.
Beautiful.
And I think you're going to be very interested if you don't already know about it, because it's about something that I'm not very good at keeping up with, but you are very good at keeping up with.
Kardashian?
Close. It's internet, like Twitter beef.
Internet beef.
Internet beef.
Okay. Like when celebrities get in fights?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Here it is. In your mind, we are on the internet. So whatever that looks like to you, but we're kind of, it's the space of women chefs and kind of lifestyle philosophers of our time. We're talking about Alison Roman, who is kind of, she's been named kind of the prom queen of quarantine. She has a lot of very, she's kind of like no bullshit, like just cooking. She's got like an hour, Alison Roman. She has these things called like the cookie and like the stew and the chicken. And it's like these very hip recipes, but in a very like, it's going to be easy. Don't worry about it. And she's kind of a no filter, cool, bohemian, hipster Brooklynite.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, I've made the cookies.
The first thing that comes up right now is The Rise and Fall of Alice and Roman, which I can't wait to read.
And that's what we're talking about today. So she had an article the other week, and in her kind of talking about her shtick.
Real quick, is she, what's her platform? Does she have a blog?
She has cookbooks. She like an Instagram thing. She also at like New York Times cooking food. She gets like published there a lot.
She's not like really a blogger.
No, she's not a blogger. She's like a chef turned like, this is my philosophy about food.
Okay.
So she's talking, kind of her like, cool, I have no filter, blah, blah, blah. And in talking about consumer capitalism, food world, she tears down Marie Kondo and Chrissy Teigen being like, I think it's stupid. These are not quotes, but the gist is like, read the article itself. But she's talking about how like their whole cookware and kind of they had this philosophy and then they were like, I know how to make money off it. And then they like just kind of blow up. And it's like, to be able to spark joy, like you have to have my cutting board, or like Chrissy Teigen's like cool chef thing is like to have her cookware. And Alison Roman's like, I would never, I don't want that to be my thing. In it, she like kind of does a hypothetical Marie Kondo. It's a little bit broken English. There's that segment of it. And also she's there because she's promoting like a cookware that she's right. coming out with. And she's has like a TV order. So then she and Chrissy Teigen go after it on Twitter. And a lot of people are like, this is garbage. You're a white woman. And the only two people that you tear down are these women of Asian descent. And there's so much privilege in your perspective. And Chrissy Teigen has been like an advocate for Alison Roman. She's like, I have your cookbooks. I was an executive producer order on the show that you're talking about. And like the only way for you to promote yourself in this article is to like tear these other women down. So then Alison Roman apologizes, but people are still super pissed. She tries to explain the like broken English comment, saying that it was, is like an inside joke with her friends, a reference to like this other cookbook. Anyway,
not any better. it's racist, but it was like an inside joke.
Yeah. With my friends. But I don't know. I think that it's just very, it starts this conversation about one, I think the intrinsic nature of women trying to be successful, having to tear down other women to get a platform.
Mm-hmm.
Like the writer was like, she didn't look at Bobby Flay or any of those other white men or other white women like Martha Stewart. And so then it's also a conversation about race. It's also a conversation about consumerism. Like, I don't think that she's all wrong in how she feels about consumerist cooking, but it's also like she is making money too.
Right.
I don't know. There's just so many elements of it. And like Alison Roman is absolutely in the wrong. There was no need for comments like that. But then for it to be online and then to allow just like everyone who's always hated, you know, just like powerful women or like people who have a platform rising to then tear down Alison Roman. And then they also were like digging deep in Chrissy Teigen and Alison Roman's like backlogs. And it's just, it's so messy. And also everyone just has time to focus on this. So
and it like honestly sounds like as you're telling me this, I'm like excited because I'm just like, it's something that's distracting and like completely irrelevant and petty, which like kind of feels nice to think about right now.
Totally. I was literally talking about Alison Roman before because I was like, oh my gosh, her like food seems really cool. And now it's like, oh, there actually is. I don't know. I think it's just thinking about like what we're taking in, what we're prioritizing is taking in and what we're putting like, Alison Roman having to think about like what she's putting out into the world, as well as Chrissy Teigen. Mm-hmm. Like Chrissy Teigen accepted her apology and was like way more the bigger person. And I salute her. And that's an amazing way to like carry yourself through the world.
Chrissy Teigen also has been one. She's been had her own share of saying tacky and inappropriate things and needs to apologize. Like I think she's good at accepting that apology because she's been there too.
I think we've just been talking so much about like domesticity and like women's role in the house, specifically in this quarantine time. And so for this to be the flare up, these like women chefs,
mm-hmm.
And kind of like women home ideologists, we'll see how it like turns out. Like, is Alice and Roman canceled? Is it productive to cancel these people?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No, that's super interesting. And I think, yeah, I just think it's so fascinating when people like tear down successful women. I don't know. It's just like, I'm just repeating what you said, but I can't imagine a man coming up with that kind of brand or writing a book and then making a product based on it or whatever, and people being like, he's a capitalist nightmare monster. People would just be like, oh, he's like opportunistic and like people like what he's making.
Totally.
I think that sounds like a loss.
I think it's a loss. I think Chrissy Teigen is a win.
Yeah.
In the way that she responded, but I think it's a general loss.
Well, speaking of losses and also domesticity, my micro is like not really feminist related, but it kind of is related to this. So that's what I was going to talk about. So we'll just organically again, just go straight into that, I guess. But I just think that this time has given me time to do things that I wouldn't normally take the time to do. Like, I don't normally take the time to cook, but like this Sunday was Mother's Day, and me and my husband and my brother and my nephew, we like the four of us made this huge like lasagna, and it was like we tried to find this like authentic recipe that had both the different kinds of like, it was like beef and sweet Italian sausage, and then it had the like, what is it, like the bechamel sauce and like all of these different cheeses and all this stuff. And I was just like, this is actually kind of nice. And I know that, like, obviously I've said this before, but like cooking for an experience is a privilege, and it's not like something for me to be bragging about, but it has been interesting, like having this extra time and being like, oh, like I have time to like crochet or like make bread with my mom or to make this jam or whatever, things that like I think traditionally I've thought of as more like domestic roles that I'm normally just like, oh, I don't have time and I don't like that, and like maybe devaluing them and seeing, I don't know, just that there's like a lot of beauty in them. And I think as a woman, it's been an oversight to me to value those things a lot of the time, because I'm just like, oh, you could buy food, or I don't know, just like I think I've kind of overlooked the joy that it brings people and like the satisfaction. And I just think that it's easy for us to look at traits that men are more known for and try to ascribe to them. And by doing that, a lot of the time we devalue ones that traditionally like women are more known for. And I think it's like a matter of like, you can choose what you want to do and what you like to do or whatever, but just like seeing the value in both is important. And like, for me, I think it's been a thing where I'm like, oh, I see the value in this a lot more. I might not choose to continue doing these things, but I think like at least having the appreciation instead of just being like, oh, I don't cook because that's what women are expected to do, and I don't want to be like part of that.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like an internal revolution in the way that it's like we have to say absolutely no to the whole thing to be like to radicalize. Like, you're like, I can't do cooking. Like, cooking and cleaning have to be like not my thing, because I want to be like taken seriously and respected. It has to be absolutely no, so that I can have this kind of agency and independence from it. And ideally it can, you can be choosing what you actually like. And yeah, that can be a mix. I mean, I totally respect and hear and agree with the things that it's like, for a lot of people, it's not just like a fun, it's not just like every day is like, let's make a big lasagna. Yeah. Although we wish it was. And so, yeah, obviously both of us are kind of coming from this from a very like privileged perspective, but ideally none of it would be gendered, but clearly that's not how it works. And that's like a very idealistic like way of looking at it. But I like that you are allowing yourself to try these activities and not devaluing yourself through them, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So that's a win. What about you?
Mine's about your husband.
Oh my gosh. I also thought about how he made I like basically ordered him to make these vegan tacos last night, and like I started it, but then I had to run an errand before the store closed, and I like had half of it on the stove, and so then I was just like, here, can you finish this? And then I was like, he just like made dinner, and I just like kind of forced him to. So I've thought about sharing that.
It's actually really important for them to understand how to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's feminism. Just kidding. Kind of. But he and I are working on he and I are actually employed by you right now. I'm not cheating on this podcast, but I am helping Whitney edit a new podcast. But he had to teach me how to do the levels and mix it and add the little intro outro music. And we just had like a very good conversation. He was like, I don't want to mansplain it, but I was like, I actually don't have this depth of knowledge. So like, please say all the parts and then I'm going to try it and I will ask you questions if I have them. But it was really nice for him to not just assert that he was like going to have to tell me everything. And there was like nothing condescending, but also I didn't feel shame in being like, hey, in this case, it doesn't feel like mansplaining. It's me actually trying to gain this knowledge. And I think that it's very easy to be like mansplainers, but I think we need to find the times where it's like, I actually want this info.
Well, first off, glad to hear that. Sometimes he interrupts me and I like can't tell if I'm like, are you just comfortable enough with me? Like, I hope you don't also do that to people at work. And I do think he's like very conscious and I mean, no one's perfect, but I think works really hard at that. I also like something I, going back to coaching, like I've had conversations with a bunch of clients about how these are women who are so afraid to ask their superiors who are men questions because they don't want to seem dumb. And so then they end up making mistakes that they could have avoided had they asked, but it just like that fear of asking because then their boss would think that they're incompetent has like made it, has like really exacerbated the problem. And I think that that's like this weird, it is such a balance. And I think like both parties have to come to it with the understanding of like where typical power dynamics are. And like what the expectation maybe is. So like if men are conscious that like, hey, I don't want this person to feel stupid if they need to ask me a question, but I also don't want to over explain. And then like, you know, a woman being like, I'm going to like risk asking a question that might make me look stupid because it's better that I ask this now than like make it worse later. So
yeah, I think it's all about like understanding like hierarchy and power dynamics, but also asking for what you need.
Yeah.
You need it. And it's just that simple. Bing, bang, boom. And that's my new philosophy.
We've fixed it.
And now we've fixed it. Done. Sounds like our micros are more positive and our macros are more negative.
Yeah, it does sound that way. Can I give one more quick one?
Sure.
Because I didn't actually read the whole article. But I just saw this thing and it made me happy. It's this company called Albright, and it's a club that is, it provides opportunities for female members to connect, create, and collaborate at all stages of your career. It's like these two women who founded it and they're like, it's a networking thing. Kind of sounds similar to The Wing, but way less exclusionary. And it's like these two women who like, and maybe this is the difference between this and The Wing, is it's these two women who had huge careers and then kind of made this as a way of giving back instead of using this to make their career, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But they just launched a digital version of it specifically to help women find ways to continue to network and also to give resources for how to make it through this challenging time with childcare and all this stuff. So I just was like, they're amazing. And they're like really trying to fix all that's going on. And they said that in a poll of 2,000 of their members, 60% are considering a post-pandemic career pivot, which I think is really exciting that like, even maybe though there are setbacks and maybe part of it is these things that are gendered, it's hopefully giving women a way to be like, you know what, I actually could do this in a different way and make something that's like better for them or for their families or just for their careers or whatever. So I thought that was a win. And then I also just wanted to share this because I thought it was adorable, is that one of the founders says, she's talking about her co-founder. She said, part of the chemistry between us and the serendipity of our meeting and the sense of wanting to build something positive, rather than just observing or feeling angry about the state of things, we wanted to build something positive. And I just was like, those are the people that we need in this world, making a change and really like empowering people from a place of empowerment and not from a place of like need themselves. If that makes sense.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So I thought that was a win.
That is a win. That's inspiring. Kind of makes me think about how we're just commenting on it.
Don't worry. They're like much further in their careers. So like 25 years from now, we'll be doing the same thing.
Our podcast will be way different in 25 years.
Do you think there will still be podcasts in 25 years?
Maybe. I think there's going to be a little beep boop pod in your brain, and then you actually can just call podcasters like cameos and talk to them that way. And that's actually what I think.
And actually, women in STEM, Nora K, inventor, right here. You heard it here first, guys.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I really like that.
Do you think the good outweighed the bad this week? Because I feel like it maybe did barely, but like barely.
I think it's super barely. I hope this doesn't, it's not supposed to be pessimistic. It's supposed to be like, let's go. I think that it has to be kind of split, middle of the road. And like, we got to get better.
We can do better. Yeah. We can do better. I think you're right.
Not the Albright women. They're doing great.
They're doing great, and we can all join with them.
Yeah. Artist?
Yeah, do you have one?
Yeah, there are many people. It's called Moms. But not really just mom. I don't know. It was Mother's Day. Everyone was being like getting all mom-y. I don't know. This is so corny. But I just think that we should celebrate if you have kids, if you don't have kids, like that's sick.
Yeah.
And then especially moms who like try to do art. That's so cool and so hard.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
I don't know. My little mom, this is my podcast, so I can talk about my mom. Thank you. Finally a platform where I can talk about my mom. But like she, I don't know, she's a painter and, but she's also a teacher but she like turned my old bedroom into a studio. And I just hope that she finds the time and space to do that more.
I love that. Totally. Yeah. I honestly think that saying yes to your art at any point is brave. And especially when you've taken a hiatus or put other things at priority, I think it's amazing.
I'm not trying to alienate people who don't have moms or aren't moms.
That's okay. We just highlight one artist at a time. And this week it's moms, and that's okay.
And next week, it's definitely not moms.
So what? Rich aunts.
Mostly rich aunts and their delinquent daughters.
Okay, well, I have an artist that specifically I just want to highlight one song because I actually haven't listened to any of her other music, but I found this cover. Actually, John found this cover, and I don't know why, because I've known it for a while, but it just has been like on repeat for me. And it's Dancing in the Dark. Do you know this cover by Lucy Dacus?
Lucy Dacus. My John also loves her probably more than me, which is like...
More than he loves you or more than you love her?
More than he loves me, but that's okay. And that's okay because I love that he has that relationship with music. But she played Dancing in the Dark at a concert that we saw back when there were concerts. And she was like, okay, like I've been playing this song. It kind of is more like a karaoke song at this point, but like, please sing along. And like everyone was singing along to Dancing in the Dark. Her cover is so good.
It's so good. It's so good. And I'm like, honestly, it's one of those songs that I could have take it or leave it a little bit. It like the original, like I'm like, yeah, it's a good song. Like everyone knows it. And then this cover, it just like really, really.
It invigorates. It like hits somewhere in my heart really hard.
Yeah, I agree.
She has a whole album of covers that she's done, and some are better than the other. Like Dancing in the Dark is like a really strong one, but she does a bunch that are so beautiful. And then her original music is also freaking awesome.
Okay, so turns out she's actually your artist of the week. And
No, I would never. Mine's Moms.
Well, yeah. I guess I gotta go listen to her stuff.
It's pretty good.
Okay, well, on that note,
bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
If you listened.
If you like the pod, hit subscribe and leave us a review.
Also, if you have a macro event that you'd like us to cover, slide into our DMs on Instagram @hystericalwomen.